we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
The less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Show, Canada's only radio show and podcast on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is CFRO 100.5 FM, Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada, on December 21st, 2018. For the next hour, I'm your host, Jen Dobell, and I'm joined in studio by my co-host, Allison Cole.
Hi there.
Today's show features two interviews with animal rights heroes. First, Lucy Kearney, founder of Rasta Sanctuary from Vancouver Island, will speak to us about her plans to build a new barn for the animals, what one can expect on a sanctuary visit when they open in the spring and the summer, and an excellent Christmas idea, sponsorship of an animal who you can perhaps visit one day with the person you sponsored them on behalf of, which I did. I bought sponsorship for one of their pigs on behalf of my nieces and nephews, and I hope to be able to take them there in the spring so they can meet this little guy.
That's a great gift, Jen.
Yeah. So then we'll feature an interview with a former Vancouver activist who actually helped to veganize me. She's now living in Berkeley, California, and she works with the Worldwide Grassroots Animal Liberation Group, Direct Action Everywhere, on the recently dropped charges against her co-organizer, Wayne Shung, who was arrested at a Whole Foods location for asking questions about their dishonest advertising regarding how the animals are raised on farms which supply Whole Foods with animal products. Stay tuned for those interviews in just a few minutes. And Allison, you wanted to share some highlights from your activism?
From my weekend last weekend, as listeners might remember, my sister Leanna was in town, so she just wanted, we wanted to like just get as much stuff done in the short time she was here. And this week, I should say, I've been suffering for it, but I will tell you why. But first of all, I wanted to mention that last Friday we had announced on the show, we were talking about the Cube of Truth, as it's an event that's been happening in Vancouver almost basically on a weekly basis now. And it's a really easy way for people to get involved with activism. And we did explain what it entailed last week. It's people standing in a cube. They're holding screens showing footage of often slaughterhouses or conditions in factory farming. They're showing baby chicks being ground at age 1 year old. They're showing debeaking and other harmful processes like that. So you and I have all seen that footage before. I mean, we've educated ourselves over the years, and I don't know, like, I feel like that footage is, it's always in my news feed when I'm logged onto social media, but that's us, right?
Right.
So, going to the Cube for the first time in Vancouver, where I was for the first time one of the people holding the screen, so I was wearing a mask. So my visibility was limited, but I could see right in front of me, and we were at a busy intersection downtown at Georgia and Granville, and that is that's where people are going into the SkyTrain. And I could see that there were so many people who are passing by who were watching, and they were taking it seriously. And that to me was super inspirational. I could see our outreach people talking to people, and I know that you do that a lot, Jen. And when I got out of the Cube after a while, and I spent before we left, I spent a bit of time just outside doing outreach myself, and I had conversations with these two young women, and one of them for sure, like, I basically, she just kept listening to me, and I kept talking to her and telling her about what she was seeing on the screen and about the horrors of the dairy industry and what happens basically from beginning till end. And it was a good exchange. She was very receptive to listening. And I just want to say, like, that I can see why people keep going out every week to do it. We have quite a movement here in Vancouver now. And I just felt that it was like, so, like, if you can reach someone by just a 15-minute conversation and showing them footage like they've never seen before, I think it's so worth it. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's a really easy way, as I mentioned last week, to get involved, because you can start by just holding the screens and sort of observing as to what's happening around you.
I've also, you know, taken some time in what they call the cube, where you're holding a TV screen or a laptop with the animal footage, undercover footage taken from slaughterhouses and factory farms. And it is interesting to take a step back. And I learn a lot, actually, just listening to some of my friends do activism with the people that are walking by, and to see how in certain moments where I may have thought this person has no hope of going vegan, I'm just going to end the conversation and move on to someone else. Some of these activists have stayed with that person and kept giving them rebuttals to their arguments patiently and nicely. And sometimes it works. So it's kind of taught me to not give up so easily. You never know if someone is 3 seconds away from getting it.
I know.
To be more persistent in obviously a nicer way, but yeah, I mean, I get frustrated. I feel like if I talk to them any longer, I'm going to get snappy, so.
But you remember my sister was here in February, and she would only merely observe at that time.
I do remember. She's changed so much.
She is now into it. She was conversing with people. I think part of it was the confidence. She wanted to make sure she had all her facts straight.
Right.
Earthling Head has a free e-booklet that you can get online on his website. I think it's earthlinged.com. Mm-hmm. And it's a few hundred pages. It's answers to every single possible question that someone could ask you. But plants have feelings. But where do you get your protein? Etc. I highly recommend checking that out. So, moving on, I wanted to talk about some more activism. Well, I guess part of what I did was it was active, and then my dad asked me afterward, but did you do this as a fundraiser, like for the animals? Because I'm always doing fundraisers, right, for the animals. And I thought, no, we didn't do that. And what was that, Jen, that you witnessed me do on Sunday morning?
Oh, you jumped into Deep Cove with a bunch of animal rights activists.
We are all vegan activists. We are all vegan activists. And we did it. And I said, no, I guess it was just for fun. But that got me thinking, you know, and I will probably likely be on Vancouver Island for New Year's this year. And they do a polar bear swim there every New Year's, January 1st. And it's jumping off this really tall dock, like the high diving board. I don't like heights. But then as soon as you jump in, you get out, which is no problem. I can handle that. And I figured if I was to wear like my big Go Vegan shirt and Go Vegan and Nobody Gets Hurt, that could end up on the front page of our North Island Gazette, because they always post a photo of of people who are doing the polar bear swim. So there could be activism in that. And I think, I know that a bunch of the vegans in Vancouver, they're going to be participating in the polar bear swim on January 1st at Kids Beach. And I hope that they do something by taking the message further. Because that would just be like for...
They will.
Yeah.
I know our crew.
Yeah.
They never stop talking about it.
So after that little visit, we went to visit some chickens who were rescued this past summer. And we did post... Actually, PETA made a video of these rescued chickens. And our friend Jeff, who is featured in them, having been one of the main rescuers. And these chickens are... He has 10 chickens living at his house now in the backyard. And we went to go visit. They were so... The chickens had just received such a transformation from...
Do you want to talk about where they came from so people know what we're talking about?
So the chickens came from an egg farm in Abbotsford, and they actually came from the manure pit that was underneath where no one should have been. I think you said they had been thrown in there. And they literally rescued chickens who were drowning in their own feces.
They come from battery cage barns. I wouldn't call them barns. They're warehouses. And these battery cages have many chickens stuffed into them so tightly that they can't spread their wings. And this is where they lay eggs. This is where 99% of grocery store eggs come from, and most restaurant eggs come from. And when people come to take them out of the cages to send them to slaughter when they're not producing so much anymore, some of them, as they're flailing to get away, fall from the workers' hands, and they land in these manure piles that are up to 6 feet high from beneath the cages. And these cages, because they're stacked on top of one another, the manure falls down on the chickens and then down below there, and they're very rarely cleaned out. So these chickens would have just died, and they've been rescued.
And not only that, they just seemed, as Jeff was saying, like they have refound their natural behaviors that they were never allowed to enact before.
Mm-hmm, such as dust bathing and enjoying the sun. On a sunny day, they spread their wings out to get maximum sun exposure on their bodies. It's really cute.
And they would have never had sun exposure before, and all their feathers have grown back. They're in such bad shape. They are so beautiful now, and it was such a pleasure to be able to see them. And I'm going to post the photos of them on our Facebook page later today, Animal Voices Vancouver.
Great. And now we are going to have an interview with Lucy Kearney from Vancouver Island. This time of year, I find myself seeking out meaningful gift ideas for nieces and nephews who seem to have every material thing they need. How can I nurture their innate love for animals, teach them about the spirit of giving to those less fortunate, and make a difference in another's life? I decided upon a monthly sponsorship of Baxter the Pig at Shemanis' Rasta Sanctuary on Vancouver Island, with the promise of a farm visit in the spring when they open for visitors. Rasta Sanctuary stands for Rescue and Sanctuary for Threatened Animals, and it was founded by Lucy Kearney in 2001. The sanctuary offers lifelong safe haven to numerous farm as well as other domestic animals, which for the most part have nowhere else to go. Let's hear that interview now.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks for being on the show today.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
We've had you on before, but it was before my time, so this is my first time interviewing you, and for some of our listeners, maybe they haven't heard about you at all. Can you tell us how you came to found a farm sanctuary?
Well, it basically just started with a homeless dog. Living in the country, we had a lot of people that would drive out from the city, drop off dogs and cats, and drive away, and it was quite a problem, so I initially started by taking in just dogs and cats, and then it started evolving from there, just being a need for farm animals, and eventually evolving more into a sanctuary and more education-based.
And I love that you're an education-based sanctuary, because not everybody is, and obviously you are a passionate, ethical vegan for you to be having a sanctuary with that messaging, right?
Well, education is the most important part of any kind of rescue work. The fact is, we're not going to rescue our way out of the situation with animals, you know, the overpopulation crisis, as well as the way that animals are being exploited. So education is really the most important part that any rescue or sanctuary can do to actually create any real change.
That's very true. So how do most of the animals come to you?
A variety of different ways. We've had a lot come in from various FPCA cruelty seizures, animals that are found abandoned by their owners, as well as taking in owner surrenders. As we have space and finances to, you know, be able to accommodate more animals, we do take in owner surrenders as well.
Do you get a lot of phone calls every day from people looking for a place to bring animals?
Well, the one thing we don't have is a public phone number. For that very reason, we used to when we were located back in Alberta, and it would be a problem that people would call all hours of the day and night, long drawn out messages, and a lot of guilt trips that, well, if you don't pick them up today, we're going to shoot them, you know, that kind of thing. So the way we invite people to reach out to us is through email, through the website, or through Facebook, through messages. It's a little less intrusive. But we do get a lot of people, you know, asking us for help in various ways.
And I've heard that before from another sanctuary owner, that people say, if you don't take my pig, I'm taking it to slaughter. And this was a pet pig they thought would be a miniature size, and they learned that it would grow to be 600 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah, it's quite common. We really don't appreciate the threats, because we are doing the best that we can with the resources we have. And, you know, it's not our problem or like our fault that they can't follow through with their commitments with the animals. But we've had all sorts of threats. We've had, you know, people threatening to shoot animals or throw, you know, a bag of kittens in the river, or just awful things, and just basically trying to guilt us into, you know, bending over backwards to do more than we're already doing. So. Yeah.
I think what I would do in your situation is set up a phone line again and have every phone call recorded and try to get the information sent to the SPCA and the police. Not that you have time for that.
Yeah, the issue is they're already overwhelmed with the amount that they're doing. And to follow up on something like that, the repercussions of it would be really quite minimal. We have had more severe cases of animal neglect and abuse and abandonment, actually, that we've dealt with. And we have found out who the owners were, and at the end of the day, not much came out of it. So with verbal threats, I don't think we'll get that, you know, much further. But at least we do have it in written format if somebody wants to send something nasty.
That's so, a good point. Yeah. So speaking of resources, what does it cost to run the sanctuary?
Sanctuary of our size. So we've got close to 70 animals here. It's around $100,000 a year, and majority of that goes towards basically feed for the animals, as well as the animal care expenses, the veterinary, the medication, the farriers, things like that. This coming year, though, it's going to be doubled because we are trying to build a barn, and the cost for that is $100,000. So this coming year, it's going to be $200,000. We're still trying to raise money for the barn. We have successfully raised $35,000 towards it, and we're doing a number of small fundraisers there. We're going to be doing a Christmas tree chipping fundraiser shortly after Christmas, where the chips will actually remain here at the sanctuary to help with the footing, so the animals' feet don't go in the mud, and we're combining it with the bottle drive. We're also selling calendars all over the island, various sanctuary calendars. They're throughout the island as well as in Vancouver. The way to find out about them is through our website, rastarescue.org. Has all the information and locations and all the different things we're doing. So that's what we've been up to.
Well, speaking of fundraising and your website, there's a really cool program called A Billion Veg. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so basically that's an app that you can get, free app on your phone. It's a food review sort of app, and basically it's promoting plant-based foods, promoting plant-based eating, vegan and vegetarian. Basically, if you go into a restaurant, it does not have to be a vegan or vegetarian restaurant. You just have a plant-based meal, and you review that meal. You just take a picture of it, write a quick review, and you earn a dollar, basically. And once you've earned $10, you've got the option to donate it to various sanctuaries, which RASTA is actually one of very few sanctuaries around the world. We are the only Canadian one. And that money gets donated, and that's basically an ongoing fundraiser. And you can actually review vegan food items as well from the grocery store, that if you pick up a great plant-based milk or vegan cheese or you know, pizza or anything, really, if you review it, then you basically earn a dollar every time. So it's super easy to do, and a great little fundraiser.
I love that. It is so easy, and for people that don't have the money to donate, this is such a great way to do it. I mean, I eat out all the time, and it's vegan, and I've heard about this before, and it just went off my radar, so I'm really glad we're speaking today, because I am going to get that app, and I'm going to tell everybody to get the app, and I mean, there's so many vegans here in Victoria. We'll just mention that on the Vancouver Vegans Facebook page, and hopefully that makes a big difference for you.
Thank you very much.
Easy to do. So I always love hearing heartwarming animal stories from sanctuary founders. Can you have a couple that you want to share with us here?
Yeah. So one that comes to mind is Penny the pig. Penny essentially jumped off a slaughter truck to save her own life, and that was in Saskatchewan. And the short version, basically she flew out to us here on the island. The longer version is a man that was driving behind this trailer, basically full of pigs, saw a smaller piglet somehow jump from the side of this trailer. He saw her jump, hit the ditch, roll a number of times, and he kindly stopped, which in Saskatchewan is not maybe the most common occurrence. But anyway, he stopped, he picked her up. She was really badly banged up, and he took her into the local vet. She spent close to 2 weeks there being treated, and once she was released to that same man, and he brought her home, and he and his wife tried to find a home where Penny could go just live on a farm and not be eaten. And they didn't have any luck, so they reached out to us here on the island, and Penny ended up flying through WestJet to the island here. So she's here. Another one that comes to mind is Ella. And Ella is an old dairy cow. She's a very sweet Jersey cow that came from a small dairy farm. And it's amazing how many people to this day just don't realize that in order for a cow to produce milk, they have to have a baby. They have to be pregnant, and a cow's gestation period is the same as humans. So after 9 months of being pregnant, they produce a calf, and typically within the first 24 hours, the calves are taken away and they're either killed the same day for something called bovio, or they put them into calf hutches or veal crates and basically immobilize them for about 4 to 6 months, and then they eventually slaughter them for veal. So Ella, she had her whole life had been kept pregnant, had a baby, and this particular farm where she came from, they told us that before she even turned around to see the calf, they would take it away. So she didn't even get a chance to see the calf. And their theory was that she didn't get that chance to bond with them. So they thought they were being nicer by doing that. And all Ella ever wanted was to have a baby and to take care of a baby. And when she was surrendered to us here at the sanctuary, I should back up a little bit. So most cows, when they stop producing as much milk and they're not as profitable, they're sent for slaughter. That's the most common thing. And Ella's owners, they really loved her. And so they reached out to us and asked if there was a chance that she could come live here. And so we did accept her, and she was surrendered to the sanctuary. And since she arrived, she just took on a motherly role to all the animals. She licks all the animals, and she's really loving to them and really sweet. And a few months later, the same people reached out to us, and they asked about a little steer named Eddie. And basically, the males of the industry are deemed byproducts, so they're generally slaughtered. The females they sometimes use to replace their mothers. And so Eddie's options were to either come to the sanctuary if we would accept him, or to end up in a freezer within a week. So we accepted Eddie, and from the moment that Eddie arrived and Ella saw him, her eyes lit up. She was so excited, and she just started licking him, and just they have been inseparable ever since. She's so thrilled. She finally gets the chance to be a mother.
So. Wow.
So that's one of the cool stories there.
I love that story. And you had Theodore pass on last year. It was Theodore, right?
Yes, we did. And that's actually why why the people reached out to us with Eddie, was because they follow us on Facebook and they knew that Theo had passed on, and they wanted Ella to have a companion. So just as a kind gesture, they just offered Eddie rather than slaughtering him. So.
And what was Theodore's story?
So Theo was found discarded on a dead pile / manure pile. He was a veal calf, basically. There was something wrong with him when he was born, and he was just thrown away on a dead pile. If an animal is, you know, worth a minimal amount of money, the average farmer's not going to spend hundreds of dollars on a vet bill to try to help them. And so a lot of times they will just hit them over the head with a hammer or throw them, you know, on a dead pile or whatever. And so Theo came to us. Basically, he was so small and so weak, and he came to us in the backseat of a car and brought him into our vet, and he was not expected to survive the first night. He was in pretty rough shape, and long story short, he grew to be a very big boy. He grew up to be one of the biggest steers in the world. He weighed over 3,000 pounds. He stood over 6 feet tall at his shoulders, and was almost 12 years old. And he was a really awesome guy.
Yeah. So. Sad that he passed on.
Yeah.
Well, now, of course, I think after hearing these stories, anyone listening to this interview wants to come and check out the sanctuary. So, in the spring and summer, I thought this would be a fabulous Christmas gift, a donation now in the name of the recipient with the promise of a future road trip to the sanctuary. So, what could people expect on a visit to the sanctuary?
Well, the biggest thing that we do stress is that we're not a petting zoo. People are, you know, allowed to pet the animals that want to be petted. However, our focus is education based. So what we do at the beginning is a brief presentation about factory farming and educating people about how the majority of animals are raised nowadays that are considered food animals. And we've got literature that is a little bit more in depth that we send people home with. that want to know more. And then we go around and visit with the animals. And the education part is just, you know, a really big part of what we do. And another thing is that the sanctuary is funded exclusively through private donations. So in order to keep the sanctuary going, we do hope that people see value in the work that we do and consider donating. And we are a registered charity, a federally registered Canadian charity, so we're able to issue tax-deductible receipts as well.
That's great. Now, I am always trying to get people to go vegan, and I want to bring my nieces and nephews there. I know that their parents would be opposed to the vegan messaging that would be in the introductory talk. Have you had that situation arise where parents have, you know, stopped you in the middle of it and said, don't tell my kids the truth about what we do to animals or anything like that?
Not so much parents towards kids. I've had grown adults cover their ears and say, oh my gosh, I can't hear this. It hurts my heart. I can't. And then I ask them if they're vegan and they say no. And then I try to tell them, well, you know, in a nice way, well, you're the reason that this is happening. Mm-hmm. If you are supporting these industries, that's the reason, you know, behind it. So I haven't had that. We do, you know, state it on the website so people are aware of it. And when somebody wants to book a tour, then I redirect them to the website and ask them to read all of our sanctuary visiting policies so they know basically what to wear, what to expect, and so on. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good for you. I mean, it's just totally pointless to have people come by and not give them the messaging on how, in some cases, people are responsible for the fact that these animals have come to you in the situations that they were in.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great. So we've got to wrap up, but it's rastasanctuary.org where people can find out more information.
Rastarescue.org.
Thank you. And how can our listeners support you and the animals at Christmas time, which is when you really need the most fundraising for that barn?
Well, donations are very much appreciated. Monetary donations, which again, we are a federally registered Canadian charity, so we can issue tax-deductible receipts. The easiest way to do it is through our website online. You can actually get automatic receipts sent out that way. And one of the biggest things, the biggest helps that we're looking towards is monthly sponsorships, that if people see value in the work that we do, if they consider becoming a monthly donor, basically for $5 a month, $30, $100, the amount doesn't matter. It's just the consistency that really helps out. So when we have, you know, a huge unexpected vet bill or an animal's ill and medication's needed, then it just helps a sanctuary operate to have that money to draw from. Mm-hmm. So monthly sponsorships are really very much appreciated.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I don't know why I haven't done it before, and I'm also going to put on another massage-a-thon for you. We've got to get that barn built.
That would be awesome. Thank you.
Okay. And yeah, so I'll see you in the spring. I'm really looking forward to meeting someone who's just been my Facebook friend up until now.
Oh, right on. Sounds good.
Okay, Lucy, good luck with everything. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
You are listening to Animal Voices on Vancouver's Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM CFRO. 100% listener-sponsored radio broadcasting live from the east side on unceded Coast Salish territories.
Did you know that Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, has over 90 different shows produced by over 350 community members? This wide range of programming produced by our diverse group of programmers ensures that we have a show you'll love. We have shows on feminism, spirituality, disability rights, politics, unions, and parenting. We play jazz, indie rock, reggae, blues, and folk. We broadcast in a dozen different languages and have more First Nations programs than any other radio station in Vancouver. Find your show on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. All different, all the time.
Direct Action Everywhere is an international grassroots network of animal rights activists founded in 2013 in the San Francisco Bay Area. DXE activists started with disruptive protests, but now also use nonviolent direct action tactics to further their cause, such as open rescue of animals from farms and other facilities and community building. Their intent is to build a movement that can eventually shift culture and change social and political institutions. DXE activists work for total animal liberation and the creation of a law requiring species equality. Today we're speaking with former Vancouverite who now lives in Berkeley, Almira Tanner, a co-organizer with Direct Action Everywhere, also known as DXE. Welcome, Almira.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's good to have you back on again. We've had you on a few times, and all of us activists here really miss your presence in Vancouver.
I miss Vancouver a lot, too, so the feeling is mutual.
Yeah. So Direct Action Everywhere has been quite active in exposing Whole Foods specifically because of their humane lies. And for listeners who don't know what this means, can you explain?
Sure. So if you've ever been inside of a Whole Foods, you've probably seen a lot of advertising about how they treat their animals better than other grocery stores, how they have really high welfare standards, etc. And so since 2014, basically, Direct Action Everywhere has been investigating Whole Foods farms to expose the truth of what is really happening on their farms and inside of these barns. And what we found time and time again is that the farms that supply animal products to Whole Foods are just the same as every other farm. And instead, Whole Foods has put a ton of money into marketing their products as humane, as higher welfare, because they know that customers care about animals and they know that customers don't want animals to be hurt. And so they know that they will pay more money to buy products that are, you know, quote unquote humane, or that make them feel good about purchasing those animal products. So we're not there necessarily saying that the people who are shopping at Whole Foods are bad people. We just want people to know the truth about what's actually happening, because we believe that if people do know all the horrors that are going on in the animal agriculture industry, they won't want to support it.
Well, I've told this story many times on our show, but for those who may be listening for the first time, I just want to say I used to shop at Whole Foods for years before I went vegan, believing that the animal flesh, milk, and eggs I was buying from were from animals that were treated well, and believe it or not, I actually thought they were killed in separate slaughterhouses that had all kinds of humane standards. And thanks to you and some other friends, I'm now vegan because you taught me the truth. There's nothing humane about eating animals or their secretions. No matter where they come from, there is cruelty involved, right?
Absolutely. And I was very similar to when I was vegetarian. I wanted to buy cage-free eggs because you have this image of, you know, chickens just running around and then naturally laying eggs that they want people to take. And then I've actually seen cage-free egg farms. They don't look anything like that. And even if the chickens were running around, you know, there's the hatchery where they come from and all those things that I just wasn't aware. So we really do want to educate people about what really happens inside these industries.
Yeah, and if for those who don't know, what happens in the hatchery is the male chicks are ground up in basically blenders, industrial-sized blenders, or put in plastic bags to suffocate because they're useless to the egg-laying industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then the female chicks have their beaks seared off with a hot blade, and yes, they have nerves in their beaks. They feel that.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Anyway, so let's talk about why I've got you on the show today. Recently, DXE lead organizer, our dear friend Wayne Shung, was arrested at, he wasn't recently arrested, but this is news. He was arrested at a Colorado Whole Foods store for politely asking managers and meat department staff questions about the source of their animal products. He was charged with threatening bodily injury. He has just learned that the charges were dropped. So can you tell us more about this incident?
Sure. So this all started, I believe, back in April. Wayne was in Whole Foods, and him and another organizer from Colorado, a carrot, decided they would just go to Whole Foods and do a pretty standard question asking. It's not even a protest. You know, we've done this many times before where we go into a store and we try to get information about where their animal products are from. And so he went in and the carrot was filming. And shockingly, when he asked the manager, can I ask you some questions, she said no. And that's like very uncommon. Usually if you go to a grocery store, you ask someone, can I ask you a question, who works there, like they're going to say yes. And they basically just refused to talk to him. And eventually he left the store, they asked him to leave, and outside they had called the police and he was arrested. And then even more ridiculously, a parent who literally was only filming, and I don't believe anyone spoke to them like the entire incident, was also arrested. And this is someone who's 16 years old who was filming some other person asking Whole Foods a question and was arrested. And, you know, this is just a series of times that we have tried to get information from Whole Foods and they have refused to talk to us. So I personally have been to the headquarters here in California. That's like the headquarters for the California area. And they have like locked the door on me. They won't answer our questions. They won't answer our emails. So we can't go to the store, we can't go to the headquarters, and they claim to be all about transparency, and yet anytime someone tries to get some real answers from them, like, where are your dairy farms, or how do you explain that this is the picture you sell to the public, and yet this is the photo we took inside of your turkey farm, they just completely shut down, and now I've actually started arresting people for just asking those questions. So, like I said, yeah, he was arrested. The trial went on, or sorry, it never went to trial, but they basically continued to offer him deals where they were like, okay, if you don't protest Whole Foods for 3 months, we'll drop the case. If you don't protest Whole Foods for 2 months, we'll drop the case. And Wayne was like, no, I'm not going to give up my First Amendment rights and, you know, my moral obligation to try to find out what's happening to animals for you to drop this case. And then eventually they just dropped the case with no conditions at all because they realized that it was going to be so bad for their PR. They weren't going to win. They didn't have any legal ground to stand on, and they just realized that the case was going to be an overall bad thing for them. So that just happened a couple days ago.
Well, as we all know, Amazon Foods just bought Whole Foods. Have you noticed any changes since that takeover?
I don't believe I've noticed any changes in the way that the animals are being treated on the farms. We've documented cruelty before and after. But there is an increase, I think, in the repression of activists. But I can't say that that is because of Amazon. We have just seen, generally speaking, across the DXC network, a much greater crackdown on activists that are simply asking questions or protesting or nonviolently rescuing animals, and could be because of Amazon, but I can't say for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I found interesting is that Wayne was charged with, quote, threatening bodily injury, and I saw the video of him in the store. He simply said, as you just stated, can I ask you some questions about where this food comes from? And that was it. And I know DXC's style of behavior in grocery stores. There is absolutely no allowance for threatening bodily injury. I've been part of DXC protests, and there are discussions before they begin that we are not to behave in that way. So why did they get away with using that description toward Wayne?
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure where that came from originally. Like, it's so absurd, but that threatening bodily injury charge was dropped quite a long time ago because they realized that they just didn't have anything. So the trial that was going to happen today or on December 20th was actually just going to be the trespass charge because the other one had gotten dropped a long time ago when they realized that was just going to look so bad for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, after that happened, DXA circulated the video of the incident online, and thankfully musician and hardcore vegan activist Moby helped by sharing it, which is fantastic. And this is just one. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, it went pretty viral for us. I think it has almost 4 million views, which is really incredible. And if you went to Whole Foods, their Facebook page on that day, or like the weeks after that, every post they made even had nothing to do with animals. People were just commenting like, oh, if I go in there and ask you a question about this product, are you going to arrest me? Or like, why don't you care about animals? And all these sorts of things on that page. And it just showed so much that, like, the people do have power over these billion, like, Whole Foods is a billion-dollar corporation now, but the people had enough power to basically make them so afraid of this prosecution, and that should be really empowering to activists.
That's great. Well, This is just one incident in a string of exposés by your group of activists. So can you tell our listeners what else DXE has accomplished lately? There's a lot going on down in the States with DXE right now.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to remember even what happened in 2018 because things went so fast.
Yeah.
But we started the year off with, you know, passing the San Francisco fur ban, which was really incredible. One of the first major cities in the whole United States to pass the fur ban, and that led to Los Angeles passing a fur ban, and now a statewide fur ban has been introduced in California, and we're really hoping that passes in 2019, which would be incredible for an entire state to ban the sale of fur. And then we've also been doing a lot of investigations, pig farms, dairy farms, egg farms, chicken, you know, flesh farms, and since until basically mid of last year, most people have never faced any prosecutions, or sorry, I keep saying last year, but I mean this year, and now we have a lot of cases in front of us, and a lot of people have brought charges. I believe it's because they realized that we were not going to stop if they just left us alone. So we now have activists facing court cases, felony court cases in Utah, Colorado's been dropped, in North Carolina, and six of us, including myself, are facing seven felonies each in California for trying to rescue animals. And so we're actually really excited about these court cases because it gives us an opportunity to present our legal opinion in the court of law and to get a decision that could really set the framework for future animal rescuers that to come if they rule that we are allowed to do this because these animals are clearly suffering, and also just gets us into kind of the political and legal system where I believe that we need to be. And probably the most serious of all of these charges are taking place in Utah, where activists are facing up to 60 years in prison for rescuing two piglets. And so in November, just last month, 400 or 500 activists all converged in Utah to take part in this convergence that we were having there to show the people of Utah that there is a lot of support for animal rights activists there, and to show the people who are prosecuting the activists that, like, we can bring out large numbers and we can talk about this and get this in the media in a way that is positive for our cause. And so it was really, really incredible 5 days. There was lots of people from Vancouver there as well, so it was great to see everybody. And we had actor James Cromwell come and support us, and it was just, yeah, we were able to also rescue 100 turkeys during that weekend, and this was right before U.S. Thanksgiving. And I'm not sure if the listeners heard about this story, but it's really fascinating because what happened is a bunch of activists went and documented conditions at this turkey farm, Norvest Turkey. It's probably the largest turkey farm in Utah. And they were then charged after this, and they rescued a couple turkeys from there. They were then charged with multiple felonies for this. And then instead of actually coming out in favor of the felonies, eventually the person who owns this farm came out and said, I don't think that these activists should be charged with felonies, and actually I'm going to help them rescue 100 turkeys right before Thanksgiving. So that was just really, really powerful for us to be able to save 100 lives, and for that to be done somewhat in conjunction with someone whose company was previously charging our activists with felonies. So that the case is still ongoing, but I don't know how long it's going to go for if the person who owns the farm isn't even in support of the charges. So there's just so many legal cases going on all the time, it's hard to keep up, but that's just a little bit about what we are doing these past couple months and what our 2019 is going to look like.
I'm so happy. I have goosebumps. Maybe I should say turkey bumps. That was a good story.
Yeah.
So can you explain for our listeners who might not be familiar with what you do, what is Open Rescue? That's one of the big things that DXE does.
Sure. Yeah. Open Rescue is a tactic that was started actually in Australia by Patty Mark with the group Animal Liberation Victoria. And this is a tactic where activists rescue animals from farms or facilities, but the thing that makes it different than, say, what the ALS does is that the activists do it without masks and without hiding their identities. So they, you know, we basically say, yep, we were the people who went onto this property. We are the people who rescued these animals from certain death. And we believe that we're doing the right thing, that it is not something to hide from, and that we want to share these stories with the world. And so not only do we do this because we believe there's nothing to be ashamed of, it's also really powerful for individual activists to be able to share those stories and be public with what happened, because they can really honestly say from their own experience, I've been inside this farm and I've seen with my own eyes what this looks like. And then it's really hard for other people, like their family and friends, to deny that experience if they've said that they've actually done it. And it also just makes us a lot more relatable to the public, where they might have this perception of animal rights activists as these terrorists who are burning buildings down, and they might say, I don't want to be on that side. If they can see us face to face and say, oh, those just look like normal people who want to help animals, I want to help animals, we might be able to gain more sympathy and get more people to want to join our movement.
Well, after one of the open rescue videos were put online, I forget which one, I actually went to my local Whole Foods on Canby, where you and I have done demonstrations before, and I asked the management to watch the video and comment on the false advertising by Whole Foods, and I let them know that because of this false advertising, I, for years, was buying those products. I was believing it, and I said I regretted it, and I felt awful. But they were to blame because they were telling me these lies. I was also to blame for not, you know, learning even more about how animals are raised and killed. But I wanted them to know that I felt deceived and I felt ripped off because I spent a lot of extra money on those products. And they would not engage in a conversation with me. They said that they had seen that video before. And they basically, it looked like they were about to ask me to leave the store for being a troublemaker, despite the fact that I had a grocery bag in my hands and let them know that I had spent thousands of dollars there.
Yeah, I mean, they are put in this really awkward position where they basically have to either lie or admit that what they were doing was wrong. And that's a really hard thing for people to do. And so we just want, you know, we just want to have a conversation with the manager or with the, you know, eventually John Mackey. Let's like sit down and talk about this, because John Mackey, the CEO of Whole Foods, is vegan. And I think, you know, he obviously cares, but I think his care is misguided and is perpetuating this idea that, you know, if you want to eat animals, you just have to pay a little bit more and there's a right way to do this. And it's just very frustrating when a company that claims to be so in support of transparency won't even have conversations with their own customers. But, you know, I don't blame the individual employees, because they're just told not to talk to us. Like, internal memos have gone out to all employees and all of Whole Foods across, you know, the continent that says, just if you encounter a DXC activist, just ask them to leave and call the police. Don't engage with them. And this just really, this reminds me of this other situation where a couple weeks ago, I don't know if you saw, we released another investigation of a Chipotle farm. Chipotle isn't as big in Canada, but it's huge in the States, and especially in California here. It's basically like a burrito chain restaurant that prides itself on being super high welfare and, like, you know, a better version of fast food. Their slogan is food with integrity. And we investigated one of their chicken farms, which was atrocious, that not super surprising to me, and we had been going to Chipotle and doing the same thing, asking, hey, can we see the boxes of where your chicken bodies come from, basically, so that we can see where these farms are. We'd like to go see these farms for ourselves. And they won't hand over the boxes. They're actually starting to rip the labels off the boxes before they put them in the garbage so that people can't dumpster dive and find them. And one time we were at a protest a couple days ago at a Chipotle, and we asked the manager, can we see can we see the boxes? And he said, let me call corporate. And the answer from corporate was, call the police and don't tell them anything. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a great summary of all of the things they just don't want people to know. And it's not the individual's fault. It's these giant corporations that are basically trying to manipulate people. They're hurting animals, and they're doing so because they can make a lot of money. And it's just, across the board, every time you see someone marketing something as humane, I would question that go ask them some questions and see what's actually happening.
Yep, like I wish I had done years ago. Well, thank you for being on the show today. Just before you go, Almira, can you tell our listeners how they can keep in touch, learn more, or donate to Direct Action Everywhere, otherwise known as DXE?
Sure. Well, you can go to our website at directactioneverywhere.com, and that's a great way to find out about investigations that we've done. You're also able to donate on the site, and any support is really appreciated, because we have 6 felony trials probably coming up in 2019, and like I said, we're all really excited for that, and I think it's a really good thing for the movement, but we need a lot of support. And right now, all the donations that people make will be doubled, so that's really helpful. But you can also follow us on Facebook, and there's also a chapter in Vancouver, so if you're interested in getting involved on the ground in activism, please come to Actions in Vancouver. I know the Vancouver organizers, everyone is super awesome, and they always appreciate when new people come out. They also do trips to sanctuaries and potlucks at my parents' house usually, so there's lots of ways to get involved in the local animal rights community.
Okay, thank you so much. And one last thing, what message do you have for anyone out there who is buying so-called humane products or maybe who is not even vegetarian yet? What do you want to say?
I'd say join the animal rights movement and meet other people who are doing this, and you will not have a hard time, you know, getting involved in this movement and changing your whole life.
Yeah, it was the best thing that ever happened to me, and you are one of the people that guided me into this, and I'm so grateful. Totally changed my life, Elmira.
Thank you, Jen, and same to you. Thank you for all the activism that you do all the time.
Oh, I love you so much. Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.
So we have some upcoming events that I want to mention for this weekend. One thing that my sister and I did last weekend, Jen, is we attended David Isbister's annual holiday dinner. And I just want to give him a shout out because he is such an amazing cook. He's so amazing in the kitchen. He's a great host. And he's having a pop-up sale this weekend. And he posted on his Facebook today, "This holiday season, I remind you that all of your usual traditional non-compassionate food are easily and widely available in compassionate versions, and there has never been a better or more important time to choose compassion, not just for the animals on your fork who didn't want to die, but for numerous other reasons of health and conservation of our planet." He says he can help and he can guide you the way. So we have posted on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, a list of all of his yummy foods. He makes so many different meats and cheese alternatives and so much more. So many pickled vegetables. He makes soaps. He makes just a lot of beauty products in that. And please head out to our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, to check that out. Also wanted to quickly mention that our co-host Sinead Sanders, she's a musician, she is playing at a local vegetarian restaurant this Sunday from 8 till 10 p.m. That's Banditas Taquera on Commercial Drive. So you might want to check that out as well. If you have an animal-friendly event that you would like to have announced on the show, please send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com or post it on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. So there's some news that I wanted to talk about today, and this just came out. More areas of BC coastal waters are going to be designated killer whale critical habitat. So two more areas of BC waters have officially been deemed critical habitat for southern and northern resident killer whales. The designation means that two areas of ocean from Swiftshore Bank to the entrance to the Juan de Fuca Strait, north to La Perouse Bank near Tofino, and the Western Dixon entrance north of Haida Gwaii, they are all now legally protected against habitat-destroying activities that could hinder the survival or recovery of the whales. Critical habitat is defined under the Species at Risk Act as the habitat that is necessary for survival or recovery of a listed wildlife species that is identified as the species critical habitat in the recovery strategy or in an action play for the species. So these new critical habitat areas will ensure that the ocean space that the whales frequent and forage for prey is protected for generations to come. Only 74 southern killer whales remain, and earlier this year, the federal government's whales initiative identified the three main threats to their survival: dwindling stocks of Chinook salmon, acoustic and physical disturbances from boats, and polluted water. The southern resident killer whales are listed as endangered under the Species at Risk Act, and the northern resident population numbers in the 300s and is considered threatened. So one more quick item that I wanted to mention. This was reported in Food and Drink magazine this week that it's been a big year for plant-based and cultured meats, but next year could be the turning point. So according to the Good Food Institute, an organization that closely watches these industries, sales of plant-based meats grew over 23%, exceeding $760 million. And in 2019, you can look for plant-based and cultured meat companies to navigate new partnerships, new markets, and ever-evolving regulatory landscape. So there's just so much happening in this market, and I would like to cover this issue more specifically about cultured meats more on the show, because as I've been learning recently, there's so many companies now that are using this innovative technology to build all these animal cells that would otherwise be grown from animals. And one of the people from the Good Food Institute says it's a much larger market. It's one that's plant-based and cultured meat companies are actively pursuing by looking to satisfy those with more carnivorous leaning taste buds. Also, one more quick announcement is, speaking of vegan food coming to Canada and has come to Vancouver already, we have an announcement that Virtuous Pie, which is much loved here in Vancouver, we have two locations. It's opening a location soon in Victoria. So good news for people who live in Victoria. Yay. And you'll be able to go there. Yeah, you'll be able to go there, one more place to eat when you visit Victoria. So that's all we have for today. You have been listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM CFRO on Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. For next week's show, it'll be December 28th, our New Year's show, and the theme will be Veganuary. Is there anything else you want to say about next week's show?
No, that's it. Just look forward to that. Send all your non-vegan listeners.
And if you have an animal-friendly event that you would like to have announced on the show, again, just send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com or post it on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. Stay tuned for an incredible environmental program, Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today. And I should announce what song we're ending with. This was this song was just played last night on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and it's Miley Cyrus, who has made up new words to Santa Baby. So stay tuned for Radio EcoShock, and remember to be kind to the animals.
Hey, Miley, you ready for the Santa Baby sketch?
Almost, but I think I might need to change a few of these lyrics. Are you cool with that?
I don't know. I mean, these are classic lyrics. People love the originals.
Has anyone actually ever listened to them? Look at this. Slip a sable under the tree for me? Do you even know what that is?
A sword?
No, Jimmy, it's a fur, and I'm vegan. And look at this, I'm asking for a car and a yacht and checks and literally the deed to a platinum mine. Plus, am I saying that I'm going to hook up with Santa if he buys me all this stuff?
That's not in the script.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miley
Cyrus. Whatever, I totally trust you. Just say, do however it makes you comfortable. It's going to be great. Stay ready, go.
He said I could update the lyrics.
Right, but I didn't think that you...
Don't want diamonds, cash or stars. Nothing that comes in a box. No more fluff. I've had enough. And I can buy my own damn stuff.
Fun? No.
Listen, Santa. me pictures of your... Ridiculous.
Just try, dismiss.
Dance, baby.